Yo, Chad, what if I told you there's a platform that could completely revolutionize your hiring strategy in a matter of hours?
Yeah, I'd call bullshit.
Well, it's not bullshit with AI for jobs powered by our friends at This Way Global.
Okay, I'm listening.
While everyone else is fishing in the same old talent pools, AI for jobs can source over 160 million diverse candidate profiles. This Way Global has established unique partnerships with over 8,500 trusted diversity partners.
So wait a minute. All of the hard on the groundwork is already done.
That's right, cowboy. You can discover 300 qualified candidates per job rec instantly.
Wow.
It's like having a candidate sourcing magic wand.
Dude, if you had a magic wand, you would have Mexican pizzas all day.
Stop distracting me, Sowash. AI for Jobs advanced matching algorithm analyzes past applicants using trillions of historical matching events and over 1,600 data points.
Now that is what AI should be doing, saving recruiters time on sourcing while they provide a white glove candidate experience.
Let's wrap this shit up. I'm hungry.
Listen up, kids. Revolutionize your hiring process today by jumping over to thiswayglobal.com and checking out AI for Jobs, where you can learn more about how to leverage AI for your recruiting instead of just writing poems and grocery lists.
That is thiswayglobal.com. We out.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Sowash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese podcast.
Oh, yeah. What's up, everybody? It is Bob Hope's favorite podcast, a.k.a. the Chad and Cheese podcast. I'm your co-host, Joel Cheeseman, joined as always, the Woodstock to my Snoopy. Chad Sowash is in the house. We are live at TA Week at the Qualify booth, and
yes,
we are giddy to welcome Natalie Stones. There's an S at the end, like Rolling Stones, founder at Talent Collective. Natalie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
So,
good morning.
A lot of our listeners don't know who you are.
What?
Give us a Twitter bio about what makes Natalie tick.
Well, what makes me tick is talent acquisition.
Oh, stop it.
I breathe
Come
it.
On. We want poetry, reading. We want walks on the beach.
Wine tasting is definitely.
Oh, there it is. Know. Okay.
Red What's or white?
Red.
Okay.
There we go.
Love me some Pinot Noir.
Oh, yes.
I live in, you know, San Francisco, Napa wine country, all that thing. But Good who rest. Am I? I am a woman in recruiting. I've been doing it for about 20 years, both agency side and in-house corporate recruiting, head of talent roles. And now I run a community for women and I do fractional recruiting and I get to do what I want when I want.
I get to do what I want.
And
she
create
does
it
what
how
she
I want
wants.
Isn't that a song from the 90s?
I love it.
Somewhere in there.
You said Twitter bio. Like, what can I fit in that short amount of time?
Well, you just did. So you're okay. Good. That's very good. That's
Done.
Very good.
Period.
So let's talk about that. So in recruiting, and now you have built this community. You're building this community.
Yep.
It's not built. You've got much to do,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
How did you go from one to the next? How do you go from recruiting, corporate recruiting, to building a community? And mm-hmm. why? Give me the why first. Why did you think this was necessary?
What's your why?
Two very specific reasons. I don't know how crass I can be on this or if I can
very,
say bad words.
Yeah, okay. Of course. Yeah.
Nasty as you want to be. We're like the two live crew of recruiting podcasts.
Number one, I was so fucking tired of being laid off. In the past 3 years, I was laid off twice. And I was like, man, like how this economy is just getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
I need a community. I need more people to connect with that are in TA. Hopefully that'll help me find my next job. I couldn't find the right conferences to go to where I didn't feel like, okay, TA is just a subset of HR.
So everybody says LinkedIn's the answer. LinkedIn's not the answer.
No, I don't use LinkedIn anymore.
Okay.
Actually, I use RecruitBot right behind us here.
Okay.
So a little plug for RecruitBot. So we wanted to create something that didn't exist for ourselves. Opportunities to network, get back out there post-COVID. We wanted programming that was very hyper-specific to recruiting operations. We wanted to geek out about it all day. And then we wanted to create more mentorship opportunities and ways for people to collaborate. So
when you say we, you mean women.
Yes, my two co-founders and I, yes, we were very passionate about it, but we created it specifically for women.
Yes.
Women plus. So those who identify. But the second reason we started it is because there's so many freaking communities out there that are ran by men. No offense. We love them. They are our male allies. They are a part of our community as speakers, panelists, contributors, partners. Uh-huh. So they definitely play an important part in what we do. But when you look at all of the other communities side by side, I can't really find one that is...
What's the mission of the organization?
To empower, advance, and connect women in talent acquisition specifically.
Okay.
And we do that in the three different ways: networking, professional development, and the mentorship.
And what's membership numbers? What's the, is there a threshold to get into the organization? Talk about that.
We launched June of last year, so we're in month 7. In the Bay Area, we started as kind of a beta test, and we now are at a little over 270 members globally, with the most being in California right now, because that's where we are. And then the other half, you know, across the US. And we have since launched other local communities: San Francisco, LA, Seattle. We have Orange County tomorrow. And then I'll tell you about the other ones later. But really, the threshold, there isn't. It's just you're a woman and you're in talent acquisition.
And benefits are?
So you get the opportunity to be a part of our Circle platform, bunch of resources, partner discounts. We have 4 to 5 workshops a month. We have in-person networking events, in-person speaker events. We have our partner experiences. Like last night, we hosted a TA leader dinner. We have boardroom peer groups, and we have mentorship programs. And that's part of our like standard, we call it our essential membership, but we also have an executive level one. So if you're a director level and above, then you get kind of the amplified experiences, different exclusive events that you get invited to. So
what if you're on the track to be one of those, right? Because not everybody is a director, not everybody, but they could aspire to be that one day. Are there like tracks to be able to get there? And I know you guys are really early in the inception.
We will do that. Thank you for the idea. No, we don't have formal tracks yet, but as part of our essential membership, we have recruiting coordinators that are in there, sourcers, and we make sure to curate the virtual experiences to make sure that it's content that could be relevant. Like throughout the month, we want there to be a topic that is rec ops focused, a staffing topic for our agency people, something that's for more junior talent, and then something that's just more of a generalist topic. So no formal track, but we try to make sure we have something for everybody throughout the month.
So how are you guys monetizing to be able to feed this? Because this is going to take a lot of fuel to be able to get.
And are you looking to be a 501c3 or another? Okay.
Yeah, we are. We're actually in the process of filing all of that right now. But early on, we made a first-time founder mistake, and we started hosting our in-person events with, like, you know, the light membership dues that we had. Every single time we were running negative. So we're like, okay, we can't do this, but we still need to have these experiences. So we're monetizing by having partnerships with other recruiting technology companies, recruiting firms, HR tech. And so they help us co-host these events. Other things that we're going to do is we have a partner directory. So any of these partners that want to be featured on our platform, they, you know, pay a cost to be on the platform. We also are co-writing content with people. So mostly right now is like sponsors and partners and kind of content collaboration.
Gotcha.
In the early days, but more to come on that.
In terms of conversations that the group is having, what's trending? What's like the hot topics?
What do you think it is?
Pay equity.
That's a trap question that I'm not touching whatsoever.
As a non-woman in recruiting, what do you think it is? Yeah, you know, pay equity is one, but it's actually not the most common one.
What about leadership positions? I mean, 8% of Fortune 500 companies have a female CEO? Yeah. I mean, there are plenty of topics that we could talk about that should be burning topics.
Yeah.
But she's on the inside.
Yes, exactly.
She knows what they are.
I know.
She's going to reveal them now.
Yeah. It's really like... Well, okay. Number one is like AI and recruiting. Everybody's, you know, in a frenzy about that. What is it about?
Which is great from a vendor standpoint, because you can get a lot of vendors to be able to get into this community, right? And then again, this is an educational scenario. I mean, this is good on both sides, for vendors to be able to help educate, but also for obviously, you know, the community to learn.
The value for us in having these partners is less about the, you know, a financial donation. It's about bringing the innovation to the community so that they are constantly in the know of like all the technology, the innovation, because not every tool is right for every company or right. stage or size or person. And so having these innovative conversations and topics is big. So AI is one. At the leadership level, they're talking more about like, how do we strategically in the future hire back TA teams? Like, will we ever need full-time recruiting teams again? Or what about fractional? Fractional recruiting is a thing. Could there be a benefit to scaling up and down your recruiting team as you need it, as your business grows, seasonality? So that's actually a big, big one right now.
You sound like an RPO right now.
Well, we do also have Talent Refinery, which is a fractional recruiting firm. So, okay. You know, a little plug for that on the side.
Okay, listener, how can you help your employees become more productive? I have answers. How about automating manual and repetitive tasks, giving meaning to data, then allowing that data to actually drive decisions? And how about matching people to your jobs quicker?
Well, wait, the Chad and Cheese has a new LLM?
No, Cheeseman, I'm talking about TextKernel.
Ah, okay, that makes more sense. What I'm hearing is the groundbreaking concept of, wait for it,
yeah,
simplicity. Seriously, though, seriously. TextKernel cuts through the complexities like a tortilla chip through some hot nacho cheese.
Oh, my God. Really? Nacho references already. Anyways, TextKernel brings efficiency and productivity to your operations. TextKernel seamlessly unifies your tools and data to drive efficiencies and success.
TextKernel is creating new opportunities for your recruitment journey, kind of like adding guac to my barbacoa burrito.
Oh my God. How about extracting meaningful insights from data? I mean, that's something. Swiftly matching people with jobs, automating repetitive tasks. Who knew such advanced concepts were even possible in the land of human resources?
We did, Chad. We did. Dude, wrap it up. I'm a little hungry.
Imagine that. Okay, listener, get ready to use today's tech to drive efficiencies and productivity. Visit TextKernel.com. That's TextKernel.com.
Nachos.
But other things, yes, pay equity is a very important one. And another one, I think we're just at the most basic level right now, where just so many of our members are laid off because of the economy. We're really talking about like how to create more opportunities for each other, how to partner on roles, how to make introductions to get a role, to pick up a project. So a lot of it is about work and staying relevant as a recruiter right now.
Yeah.
But more will come the more that we have more female voices and passionate, you know, things that they're excited about talking about.
So I didn't answer your question, but I'm going to tell you what I'm surprised that you didn't say in your answer. Chad and I almost weekly or at least monthly talk about the demise of DEI, whether it's companies pulling back funding, laying off leaders in the DEI movement. You didn't say any of that in terms of a concern with your members, but what are your thoughts on, you know, the trend of Me Too, Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, we're going the right direction. It looks like we've backed up.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
So what we kind of see in recruiting is it was like this trend in this wave. And then once everyone was doing it, then how does anyone remain relevant with their DEI initiatives without making it like a very specific thing that we're trying to put out there, you know, like having good perks and benefits and everybody's having the snacks and the, you know, the dogs at the office. Like everybody's now doing the same thing. So how does anyone really diversify themselves as a DEI employer of choice? So I think what you're seeing is a lot of companies now are, if you aren't really going to make a concerted effort to continue to maintain DEI initiatives, or if you were just doing it as a trending initiative, then stop. Don't do it anymore. Because then you're not being authentic with it. And it's just becoming a thing to do because everyone else is doing it. So I think that's why you see some companies backing up with it, because they don't want to be out there as, okay, we're doing what everyone else is doing. Instead, like, let's just focus on DEI initiatives that are important to us without having to make it a like marketing campaign type of thing. So I don't think it's going away. I think the buzz around it is demising a little bit because it became a very big marketing thing.
So to kind of like fight back a little bit on that one.
Let's fight.
Before when there were marketing budgets, right? Mm-hmm. They were marketing budgets. They weren't, they weren't diversity budgets, right? Yes. You had CDOs that were put in place that had no staff. They had no budget, right? Now this is when people were focused on it, quote unquote focused, right? To actually do the right thing, which we all know is bullshit in many cases. Facebook spending millions of dollars and getting, you know, almost a bump. At the end of the day, if there's no pressure, then nothing happens, mm-hmm. right? So I agree with you 100%. There was a smokescreen out there for years that we called DEI.
Yes.
And we put people in place that had no power, they had no resources. But the question is, how do we pivot into something that does matter? It is meaningful mm-hmm. without having an emphasis on it at all.
I think what we're seeing evolve from that is unbiased hiring. Right? Like, how do we just unbiasedly consider all talent based on just purely skills and qualifications, less on, okay, do these hires tick this box based on this diversity, you know, category? So like in my last role, we were an agency and we really focused on unbiased hiring, but we would get a lot of clients that would say, you know, we only want to hire women, so only send us panels of people that are women or a certain ethnicity, so on and so forth. And we said, we don't do that. Because we kind of feel like that's reverse diversity. Well, what about the other people that don't meet that category that are qualified for your role? So instead, we will go through an unbiased exercise. We'll present you the right talent panel, and you can choose who you want. So I think what we're seeing more, at least within our community, is how do we just create an unbiased hiring experience that could help amplify diversity without focusing on like we need to get X more amount of whatever category that is. I hope that answers your question.
It does, but it's really hard because a lot of, let's say for instance, like females who want to be CEOs.
Yeah.
They don't have the standard requirements, mm-hmm. right? So therefore they're not qualified because they're not getting the opportunities, yep. right? And mm-hmm. if you take a look at some of the statistics, to be able to get where we need to be with parity, it's going to take 75 years. Do you think have that long? I don't. So
I think I'll be dead by then.
I know I will be. But at the end of the day, how do we make this happen mm-hmm. without being too crazy, reverse discrimination, whatever it is? Problem is, we're not fixing what's been broke. Mm-hmm. How do we fix that? And your community, I would say, could be a good cornerstone to some of this.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think, like you guys were saying, you're trying to help amplify female voices. So I can only speak to the female perspective, but you know, having allies and people that are not from our diverse category, helping advocate for us and amplify our voices, making the right introductions uh-huh. is kind of the only best right answer that I have right now. But we're trying to do everything we can to elevate the confidence level of women in recruiting specifically, trying to give them as much professional development opportunity to help mm-hmm. them grow, and then creating that mentorship so that maybe they're getting access to more of those connections. Uh-huh. So that's the only best solution that I have right now.
Clearly no easy answer to
that
question.
If it was easy, we would have this shit fixed already, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you another one that I'm surprised you didn't bring up in terms
Here
of
we
trending,
go again.
Trending topics. So the pandemic we know is an imbalance of stress on women, which typically the burden of childcare goes to them. And the work from home movement seemed to be something that was a very big positive
yeah.
for women.
Yeah.
You see more and more stories about return to office, get back to work, and that impacting women sort of in a negative way yep. for sure. Is that being discussed? Your thoughts on work from home mm-hmm. and companies that maybe don't consider, run by a man, consider the impact on women in return yeah. to the office. Is that a topic that you guys discuss or have an opinion
on? It is. And it's more like the TA leaders trying to really have concerted conversations with their stakeholders in their companies mm-hmm. to help them understand, you know, really good talent is going to be self-accountable at home, man, woman, otherwise. And so why can't we continue to have work from home? We do talk about, you know, the impact that it has on women, specifically because myself and Krista, we are single moms and we run two businesses. And the way that we've created the opportunity for ourselves is creating our own business.
Yeah.
But not everybody can do that. Not everybody has the right access, community support, financial means, whatever. And so we really try to have conversations about like, how do you advocate for yourself to push back and or not accept opportunities just purely because, you know, you like the company or whatnot, but does that meet your personal means?
Yeah.
Actually heard last night, someone was telling me that there's this new, I don't know if it's a movement, but there's this new concept of both parents going part-time. Like, let's say you're not a single parent. Both parents working part-time.
Yeah.
So that no one is off balanced on the burden of work or the burden of at home. So they're trying to create these equal opportunities where instead of one person not working and losing one full salary, how do we both work part-time to support the family and support your career? So I was like, interesting. First time I heard of that.
This week on the rise of part-time jobs.
Yeah.
And that maybe that syncs up with what she's saying.
I need to look into that.
Try working part-time and living in San Diego.
You'll be at the beach all the time.
Not to mention, here in the U.S., I think that's a little bit easier in Europe because they have healthcare. Here, the way it's tied to a full-time position, right? So, I mean, those are great ideas. But again, I think for some people who have the means to be able to do that, they can do that. But unfortunately, the ones who can't, they don't have the availability to keep a roof over their head, food in their kids' mouths. So,
The one thing that, you know, was part of that topic was then you do away with the entire daycare expense. So that like helps that family save, you know, on the cost of that. But kind of to finish answering your comment on that, what we actually are discussing the most is so many women want to be their own decision makers. They want to be their own bosses. They want to like have creative control of the work that they do. So many of them in our community are becoming fractional. Like they just want to be solopreneurs, have a lifestyle business enough to kind of maintain the life that they want, but still getting to pick and choose, like standing up their own business so they become their own boss, pick and choosing the types of work that they work on.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of amplifying themselves by taking it into their own hands.
It's almost like, gigs. I mean, you're fractional. Yeah. You're working
same.
Gigs. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you struggling to attract the talent you need today? Do you lack visibility into where your recruitment ad dollars are really going? There's a better way. Acquire ROI is a programmatic job advertising platform built to optimize your budget and supercharge hiring. Acquire ROI automatically manages and measures recruitment ads across job boards, so you can allocate your budget based on insights, not hunches. Get to quality candidates faster and cost-effectively scale hiring across roles, all while gaining complete visibility and control over your recruitment marketing investments. Say goodbye to manual guesswork, inconsistent performance, and wasted spending. And hello to optimized automated campaigns that produce qualified applicants. At Acquire ROI, we make job advertising easy. Visit us at acquireroi.com and start transforming your talent acquisition today.
Curious about, we're here at TA Week, we're in the exhibit hall, and there are a lot of companies on the vendor side who preach unbiased recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
You see sites like Fairy God Boss or In Her Sight that are specifically for women. You mentioned quitting LinkedIn, so feel free to expound upon that. But what are vendors, in your perspective, getting it right? Are they moving in the right direction? Or is a lot of false promises that you're seeing?
I think vendors are getting it right. I think where the hesitation is actually on the user. Because we are still in an era where there's a variety of different generations that are used to hiring a certain way. Please email me over the resumes. I want to look at the resumes. And then they, you know, scroll to the bottom to see when did they graduate or the gaps or whatever. And so while the vendors are doing a great job to kind of create the unbiased user experience, I think there's still a lot of resistance to it. And so there's not as much adoption as we would hope.
Right.
Because they still, you know, their brain, their muscle memory is still wired to like, I want to see it all. I want to know who this candidate is.
Yeah.
And then they make their biased impressions.
Well, I think you take a look at the tech stacks that are being built today. And I would say in the very near future, they're not going to have that opportunity. The amount of scale that we see today with regard to the amount of people who can apply, and then the new apply bots that are out there, there have to be technologies that go ahead and filter out according to the requirements of the job, right? And then allow that recruiter at some point to actually have access. But I mean, you know, so hopefully we're getting past that. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, a lot of those recruiters who've been doing the old school mm-hmm. 1990s way of recruiting, they're not going to last. They're going to be gone. And the new breed will definitely take over.
Not only based on, like, you know, generationally, they're yeah. going to be working out of the workforce, but they will also maybe not become as relevant, to your point.
Yes.
I feel that same way about AI. I don't think AI is going to replace recruiters, but the recruiters that don't choose to adopt that into their effective processes
yeah.
will become kind of dismal.
I'm sorry. So I tried to serve it up, but LinkedIn, what's up?
It's so damn expensive.
Okay. All right.
Gosh, you can't ever get out of the contracts. Like, why do I need to pay $2,500? I don't even know what it costs anymore for a license when I can, like, still kind of find these same people on my own. So, I mean, I'll give another plug for RecruitBot. I work on a free LinkedIn account. I don't even have to use it. They have all of the content that you can source in there. The AI will then tee up additional candidates based on, like, how you're qualifying them. Mm-hmm. I can then put them through my emails campaign. Yeah. There's a CRM piece, and then I can status them with kind of the ATS. Like, why do I never need to go outside?
It was like, I'm morally opposed to the,
I mean, sure,
the,
yes.
the Death Star that is LinkedIn.
There's that.
So, yeah,
the Death Star, yeah.
Pricing's a little less sexy, but it is an answer that a lot of people give us. Natalie, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thank you.
For our listeners that want to know more about you and the organization, where do you send them?
To talentcollective.community. That's our website.
There you have it.
Dot community. That might be the first dot community yeah. on the podcast.
It was available, so I took it.
We appreciate dot that.
Community.
Dot community.
Exactly. Spell it all
UK.co
out.
Or something. Chad, another one in the can. Progress, baby. We out.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to, what's it called? The podcast. The Chad. The Cheese. Brilliant. They talk about recruiting. They talk about technology. But most of all, they talk about nothing. Just a lot of shout-outs of people you don't even know. And yet, you're listening. It's incredible. And not one word about cheese. Not one. Cheddar. Blue. Nacho. Pepper Jack. Swiss. So many cheeses. And not one word. So weird. Anywho, be sure to subscribe today on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That way, you won't miss an episode. And while you're at it, visit www.chadcheese.com. Just don't expect to find any recipes for grilled cheese. It's so weird. We out!
Welcome, change agents, to your go-to place for stories that ignite your spirit, fuel your purpose, and connect us all. We believe in the incredible power of the human spirit, its boundless resilience, and the inspiration it brings to our lives. On the Driving Change podcast, we'll journey together through the extraordinary yet very relatable experiences of some of the most amazing people on earth. Our mission? That through these stories, we might just spark change within you and awaken a newfound motivation to harness your unique gifts to make a real difference in the world. So get ready to be inspired and join us on this incredible adventure. You can find the Driving Change podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you love listening to your favorite podcasts.